Well, Father, we just thank you for this time together. I thank you for these women who have invested in their marriage, just being here today, and for Pastor Kimberly and Pastor Stephen just investing in the church and just pouring into these marriages and these homes and just the fabric of who this church is. And so we just thank you for them. We thank you that you're always doing supernatural, exceeding abundantly above what we think is happening and what we think is going on. And so we just put our expectation on that, and we just thank you for it. We put our trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Is my mic a little loud? We were just telling your pastors a story whenever Joey, he used to like pastor at a, he went to the like a high security prison every week before I knew him or before we dated. And so for like 6 years he did that. And so one time I went and I was like so 20. And so then I was like, and you know, so like from the sticks, like I just had not been out in public much. And so when I got the mic, there's like this, you know, like 300 men in there. And I was like, am I hot? And they were like, just silent. And Joey's like, what? I was like, am I hot? And he was like, what are you saying? Is my mic on? He was like, your mic is on. Stop saying that. That's how I feel right now. I feel really hot. He's like, he told me later, that's not even like a thing. And I was like, it is a thing. Like, if your mic is hot, that's a thing. He's like, not really. Don't say that ever again. Especially in a men's prison. They were so nice. It is so bad. Yeah, it's better. Thank you. It's so bad because you fall in love with those men. So I started going. So I just went for a couple years. But you know how you're not supposed to bring contraband or anything to them? And I learned why they, like, harass you to tell you not to bring things. Because those men are so precious. And you just realize this is just like someone's son or someone's dad who made a terrible mistake. And here he is. And, you know, they're like maybe would love for you to mail a picture to their wife or something like that, and like, or whatever, something like that. And it is like so illegal, like you cannot do any favors for them, but man, your heart is like big for them. So it's like the temptation would definitely be there to not to break the rules. I'm a rule follower, but like to do whatever that they wanted, you know. But anyway, they do. That's like, you know, to get into a prison, like it, that was like a high security, like psychiatric ward. And so, you know, you had to go through like extreme training and all that stuff. But anyway, so yes. Well, I just wanted to encourage you guys. You know, we talked about just being in the spirit and stuff, but you know, as wonderful as, you know, Joey is, like, and I'm, you know, also none of us are perfect people and none of us have perfect marriages. And so definitely there's been seasons of my life where you just feel like heartbreak just like crushing in, you know. And so I was going to just tell a story on myself this morning, kind of, but on him. But so last night we had been just studying the whole time separately. And then we got together like three times and would talk. And so then last night we were going to send over our notes. And so I'm just like a paper person. Like, I love to print my notes. I am old school. I love my paper Bible. I love paper. And so my paper was quickly becoming obsolete from all of his stuff, like when we were merging. So I had to, like, I was doing it on my phone. And so then I was just kept telling him, I need a computer. Like, I should have had a computer because, like, this is not working doing this on my little bitty phone. And so the whole night, he never says anything. So today I'm like, well, I'm just going to go try to print these notes. And I was like, probably five times said, like, this is really hard. Like, I'm really struggling on my tiny little phone. And so then this morning he was like, well, I mean, I have like an extra laptop and a couple of iPads in my bag. And I'm just like, I worked for like 2 hours last night and you just never, I mean, I didn't say anything to him. So then that temptation to like kind of feel sorry for yourself or just to be a little chapped, you know? So I just had to like, and I'm like coming to do a marriage conference this morning to tell y'all how to be so nice or whatever. But it was just, it like really just like, I was just like, I am so thoughtful to you. Like, I would have jumped over. I would have gone to Best Buy and grabbed you an iPad had I thought that you were needing something. And you didn't bother to tell me that you had. And he was like, well, it's really large, so I wasn't sure if you would want to use it. And I'm like, you weren't sure if I wanted to use a really large iPad? Since I kept saying that my phone was too small and I was really struggling. Anyways. So, but it just, like, I'm trying to remember the point of this story, but it was kind of like one of those snags. Like, I just was, like, a little agitated with him because then he wanted to keep talking to me this morning when he gave me the iPad. Well, you got the font too small. The font's too small. And I was like, I can see the font, and I have, like, 30 minutes. Please, you're, like, harassing me. Like, stop. So I'm getting a little agitated, and, you know, it's all justifiable in our hearts and our minds, you know. So I just, like, I was just like, Holy Spirit, help me. So I was like, okay, what I'm going to do, and this is just me, y'all. I just am like, I don't even know the word for it, but I was like, I'm going to go pull up the car because it was raining outside, and I'm going to warm up the car for him because I would want him to do that for me. So I'm humbling myself because I'm feeling pride and frustration, probably, you know, like, I'll say not really. I don't really, like, experience a lot of anger because of my childhood. Like, I have very subdued emotions. I mean, you can't really tell that when I'm talking so, like, wildly, but I do, like, and that's not always, like, a healthy thing, but that's just, I mean, that's just who I am, you know, so, but almost, like, the temptation of, like, that sense of anger. And so, what did I do? I went to get the car because I would expect you to do that for me, so I'm humbling myself because I don't appreciate how I'm feeling on the inside. Like, I'm correcting myself, you know, like, it's how I would maybe do my child, you know, not really, but, I mean, in a sense, I'm like training myself, my spirit to line up. Is never ever, I love in Keith Moore, you know, I was at Rhema when I was like 16, 17 years old, and I was so broke. Like, I literally just got in my car that I had bought for myself for $300, packed my few little things. I had no credit card, I had no cell phone. Just really didn't have any money, period. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. Like, I just, like, went to registration. Like, I didn't know what I was thinking, you know. But so I did all that. Why did I say that? So then Keith Moore would always say, it is never, ever, 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 ever okay to feel sorry for yourself. Well, I'm, like, thinking, does hunger count for feeling sorry for yourself? You know, like, you would want to. So, and then also I lived with a friend, and her mom would be there. And so this is on live stream. It's okay. So she would, I mean, we've talked about this. It's okay. She would, her mom would really kind of pressure us to use credit cards to buy clothes. And at Rhema then, you had to dress up. You had to wear pantyhose. Like, just affording pantyhose for me was, like, crazy. Like, the trick to that is, you're legally, I do have pantyhose on, Pastor Lynette, and I also have a long skirt on, and yes, there are 19 runners in them with a lot of nail polish, you know, so you just would never see my pantyhose, but I had them on because I'm a real follower, you know, but I just refused. I didn't grow up around any credit cards. It scared the living daylights out of me. So her daughter would have, like, these beautiful outfits from Ann Taylor, and she worked there, so she also got a discount, but also, I mean, probably, I think to this day, she's still paying that off. But I just refused to do that. So then when I would come out, I wish I wasn't telling this story. There's so much to talk about. But when I would come out, she would be like, are you wearing that? And I would just be like, I mean, so, like, who I am in a personality, just like this crushing moment, I would go back into my room. I would just tell her, yes, I am wearing this, and, you know, go back into my room. And it was just like the tears would just fall like crocodile tears that you couldn't even stop. And I would just look in the mirror and I would just say, it is never, ever, ever okay for you to feel sorry for you. I thank you, Father, that you're making the beauty of the Lord shine upon me. I receive the beauty of the Lord right now. It doesn't matter what clothes I have on this body, whatever. So I was, like, guiding myself and correcting myself. But in marriage, the trap of the enemy is to really get us to feel sorry for ourselves, because somehow we wound up with this man who is not perfect. And many, we feel like, no, he's very not perfect. You know, he's really falling short. Or you know, he doesn't listen to the Holy Spirit. In fact, he's not even filled with the Spirit. In fact, you know, yada, 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 right? So we could always justify feeling sorry for ourselves. But in Psalm 118, verse 5, it says, in my distress, I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me, and he set me free. Now, he's not going to set you free from your covenant union, because he wants you to stay there and develop your character, your faith, your spiritual authority to the place that you can override any shortcoming that your spouse happens to have. And it could be a lot of them, right? Now, I always just like to say, like, I'm never speaking about physical abuse. Like, if you're in a safe place where you can believe God for things, and he's really hurting your feelings, or he's really not thoughtful, or whatever. You know, my kids, like, even will highlight, they notice things I would never say about Joey, and they tell me, Mom, like, whatever, like, did Dad even get you a Valentine card? And I'll just be like, he didn't, and you know what? I don't care. It's okay. Because I have this man who has all these other blessings, and so when he fails on something like that, I am just correcting myself and directing myself that it's okay. And then maybe I'll just tell, and not even that I would care. I almost like just despise the marketing of all of it, because I have this perfect man that loves me. I mean, he's not perfect, but for me, he is. And he's like, I mean, such a godsend. The Holy Spirit literally told me, that is your husband. So it doesn't really matter if he never gets me a Valentine's Day card. I am supposed to give heed to this marriage, to this covenant, with faith, with some spiritual authority, with some spiritual tenacity, to never talk about or think about giving up, caving in, and quitting because of his shortcomings. Because the reality is that, I mean, so many men are looking at pornography. Like, that's something Joey has never struggled with. Like, couldn't I just say, my husband doesn't look at pornography, and he doesn't do very good at buying me Valentine's Day cards. Is that a fair trade? You know, like, just talk yourself through some things, because they're going to fail us. They're going to disappoint us, you know, in ways. And it's like, I like literally be married for 23 years. Well, let me give you a little tip. Won't you go, because we live an hour from the grocery store, you know, won't you go buy yourself 10 Valentine's Day cards and tuck them in a little drawer? And you would always have a Valentine's Day card. When I give you yours, you could pull one out, right? But, I mean, so it's like, in our brain, it could be really simple. Like, he could really remedy this if you were just a little bit thoughtful, you know? But I tell my kids, listen, your dad has afforded me this beautiful life. I cried my eyeballs out when Katie was 2 weeks old. No, I'm sorry. Yes, she was. She was 2 weeks old because my friend had a baby 2 weeks before me, and she was taking her baby to the daycare in Post that I wouldn't drop my two-year-old at, but she had to go to work. And it was just like crushing, like, to me, to think of her dropping her four-week-old baby off. But it was because these are my desires, and not that it's bad to go to a daycare, but we do live in a small town, and it's all like government-funded things, you know, so not the best of anything. But to think of her having to take her baby over there, I am so grateful that I get to be home and stay with my baby right here, like, in this warm, safe place, and I don't have to drop you off. Like, I just told him, Dad has afforded us such an amazing life by living by the Spirit in the way that he has been devoted to the things of God, that I just never major on the things that he comes up short in. Now, is it temptation? Yes, I told you all my temptation this morning, and I buck against that. Just like whenever my friends were spraying that hairspray and greed tried to snag my heart, I made a decision when I was a very young girl, they could spray as much as my hairspray as they want, and I am not going to be greedy. I didn't even know about anything about the things of God, because I wasn't in the church, but I just felt that greed. And it's amazing how we know right from wrong innately inside of ourselves, even in the world. So I want you to be focused on, like, when you feel the distress, come to the Lord, and he will set you free. What does he set you free from? From yourself, from self that is thinking, I just can't do this, this is too much. And then always, I mean, I teach my kids this about sin, and we can do it. These are in essence sin whenever we are so focused on their flesh that we can't walk in gratitude, right? So plead the blood of Jesus. I mean, I literally take communion every day, probably for my husband, you know, like just not really, but yes, like if there's a frustration inside of me or for my family or for my husband or whatever it is, I literally just go, and I'm on a carnivore diet. I don't eat carbs. I eat carbs whenever it's time for communion. Like I just get a little tablespoon, drink a little real grape juice and eat that little one carb wafer, and the diet's out because I desperately need what the blood provides in my house, in my family. And I do that like for myself, but also if there's this, like, you know how sometimes just strife just stirs. There's just like this thing, and it's just like strife just wants to raise its ugly head. And I just immediately, like, I resist it. And you got to pay attention to it, because what you can turn into is the enemy making you think that he's being annoying, or maybe whatever, or you know that you're just mad. I'm just a little crabby, and you just got to deal with it, whatever, you know. But really what it is it's so many times is a spiritual thing coming in to press into and to give an access in your marriage. And, you know, I keep saying this, but I'm just like a big mama. But what I always taught my kids is that sin doesn't play fair. You don't get to decide, well, I really have unforgiveness to this person, and it's very justified, and I'm very validated in my unforgiveness, and to think it's just going to stay between me and her. It does not happen like that. That unforgiveness is like a crack in the dam, and it seeps through, and water is very destructive. Sin is very destructive. So as I tolerate this unforgiveness, because she really hurt me, she really hurt my child or whatever. No, she didn't, but this person, other person, who is my sister-in-law in my family. she, you know, this person really has just whatever. Then I'm tolerating this sin because it's very validated and very justified, and it begins to seep into every area of my life, because we don't get to control sin. We don't get to control the effects of sin. We don't get to control the force of sin. Now, do we have power over sin? We do, and we can take the control back. We can take that authority back, but if I'm ignorantly just thinking that I have this sin that I'm kind of justifying and validating, meanwhile, in the background, stuff is happening that shouldn't have been happening, right? It's like I gave access. I opened a door to that. And strife is so many times so validated in our hearts, in our mind. We really think, well, no, you're being rude, and I'm not standing for it. You know, like I'm not putting up with that. So then we're justifying strife, and really we should have had little spiritual antennas up to say, no, I rebuke this in the name of Jesus. I bind you, strife. You will not have a place in my home. I plead the blood of Jesus. You know, if you're depressed, if you're oppressed, if you just want to lay in the bed with the lights off and cover your head, have the spiritual wherewithal to just say, I plead the blood of Jesus right now. I rebuke this in the name of Jesus. And because it just begins to move things in the spirit, we began to navigate in the spirit rather than just thinking, this is just my body, or this is just me, or I'm just mad, and that's all there is to it, you know? And it's hard because people, like, we get hormones, you know? And so then we really begin to validate some things that are very offset in our life. And we have so many hormone disruptors. And, you know, like health foods is like my hobby. I love it. That's why I never would have given my kids Tylenol. I mean, it just like, I just get so irritated with the influx or the quick reflex to medicines. I'm so thankful for medicines that have saved lives and medicines that are so become necessary. But I think we just get ingrained to like, oh, you have a little fever here, have this, and let's put you to sleep, kid, you know? And so I would just get, Joy and I's literal biggest fights were about Tylenol, because I believe they need to like have that fever. If it was 103, I'm going to have them at a doctor. Like, but if you have a low-grade fever, get away from my child, you know. But so why did I say that? I don't know. high reason. Okay, so let's look at Psalm 62, verses 5 through 8 in the NLT. And it says, let all that I am wait quietly before God. My hope is in him. Now listen, my hope is not on my husband. My hope is not on a man. My hope is not in for him to do what he should do, what I think that he should do, what I know he should do, that to make things a good relationship. And I'm not saying don't communicate. I'm not saying that be a doormat. I'm saying stand up in the spirit rather than standing up so much in the flesh. Because we are mighty. Like, we are feisty. We are strong. Like, women are so strong. And I've just seen so many women really destroy a man by just tearing him down and just destroying, so like Proverbs tells us to speak to him as a king and the king will come out, right? But so many times people are speaking to the fool in a man and they get the fool from their husband and now they're frustrated that he's acting like a fool, right? And so if we treat our husband like my hope is not, like all of my happiness and my supply is not resting on your shoulders, and then suddenly he has a chance to have the weight lifted where he can begin to navigate some things, and then maybe he'll be more thoughtful if you weren't putting so, not you, but if we weren't putting so much pressure in the natural. So what are we doing? We're putting our eyes on God. My hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor comes from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. My people, trust in him at all times. Pour your heart out to him, for God is our refuge. I just love that because, you know, we need to learn that we run to Jesus when we feel heavy. And so many times as women, we're like, no, I want to talk about this right now. And what do? Men need to go walk around the block. And this isn't a like all the time, because sometimes these genders can cross. But for the most part, men need to decompress. They need to think about it. They need a space for a moment. And then if you're like this controlling, overbearing person and you just don't want to talk right now, then you are inappropriately wanting your salvation to come from him changing things or him agreeing with you or whatever. And you know, again, like God is going to meld this beautiful relationship and this beautiful person. So I'm not saying, listen, you got stuck with the old geezer, just deal with it. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying put your eyes on God and he will create a beautiful relationship that only he can do. And none of our controlling, nagging behaviors are going to add anything to him. Okay, so let's look at Matthew 11, 28. I want to get through a few of these because I love the word. Do you love the word? The word changes us. The word is just a lifeline for us. And it's, I love all of these scriptures. I literally could like read the whole Bible to you today. I'm just kidding, but I feel like that. Okay, Matthew 11, 28 says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, do you have the pictures of my dogs? Let me see them. Okay, so this seems so off track, but so my little, that's the last one, so we'll just keep going. So my husband got these dogs from his dad, and we took her immediately to the vet, and they said, she's too young, we cannot neuter her right now or spay her or whatever. And so within like moments, she was pregnant, okay? So here she is, like whenever we got her. She was so precious and darling and sweet. And then we'll do the next one. So then she had the puppies and they stayed inside a lot and then we'd take them outside. But she would just be constantly, so we had these blankets under her bed and we would move everything and change a brand new blanket like probably three times a day because she was just constantly working and cleaning and working and then she'd be nursing and then she was cleaning the whole thing like because she wanted that blanket like to be very, very clean. Okay, let's see the next one. So we would help her. Oh, that was me. I was doing yoga, but she would just like not go away from me because she wanted to protect me. Okay, we could do more. There she's nursing. We keep going one more. Sorry, I'm getting back to this one. Okay, one more. So then this is the picture that I saw, and I was like, this is so typical. Like, she's in there, like, cleaning because she wants their space to be spotless. And then the male is, like, back there in his little cooling off session, you know. And so what happens to us, we just began to like, just like vacuum a little angry, and he's not helping, and we get in this little frustration time. But do you know that, I was telling my daughter this yesterday, did you know that she lived the roughest life? Like, we got her out of this like old abandoned place. It was terrible. She was like so mean, like just vicious. I was scared of her for like 2 months at my own house, like, which of course she was outside, but now she's my baby girl. Like, I love her so much. But, and I'm not even a dog person. I was never a dog person, but I just like, if you have a heart, you like fall in love with them, you know. But she just naturally did all of this. She naturally had these babies. We didn't help her 1 second. We just, like, my daughter and I, we stayed in there and we watched her for like, you know, like probably 12 hours in the garage. And I mean, she just was, just naturally did all these things, right? And meanwhile, she's like nursing and they're driving her crazy and all this, you know. We have, okay, you could turn those off. So we have a natural grace to be a mama and to be a wife and to be a helpmate and to do special things, like to do more. Like, I mean, pastoring, I probably counseled 29 women who just sit on the couch and just, he just doesn't help me. I do everything. I do 10 times what he does, and he just doesn't help me. Like, and like, well, yeah, I mean, he does, he works all day, and I'm, but I'm home with the kids all day. And so then he comes home, and he just doesn't help me. But I've found that women have this special grace. We have, and I'm not saying that he shouldn't be a helper. I'm not saying that he works all day and you didn't because you had kids. But there is something so innate in us that is able to function and do an excessive amount of things. That's why, you know, like Joey says, I'm sharp. I'm no sharper than him. I just can, like, think about more than one thing at a time, you know, like, and so, I mean, he's actually super sharp, but he's very focused. And so we have different giftings, but what I find sometimes as wives is we're frustrated that I'm doing my gifting and I want you to help me do my thing too. Like, and so then we begin to get disgruntled in cleaning the space that was so innately natural for us to do. And so I don't want to belabor this because I know that can just be a sensitive subject because men should help. That's fine. Joey helps, not very much around the house, but he helps, you know. But I have to communicate to him. Like, and he'll be like, okay, well, what would you like me to do? I'm like, take a look around the room. Maybe pick something that you see. You know, it's like, why, you're not seven. Why do I need to tell you this? You know? But he's trying to help. So it's just like, well, actually, if you were to just load the dishes real quick, then I'm going to do this. And so I'll just baby him through helping me. But he's trying to help, you know. But don't become disgruntled. Don't become frustrated in doing the gifting that's inside of us as women. And maybe you work outside the home and this doesn't even apply to you. Just erase it, you know. But I just find that so many times that becomes a part of the strife and the stress in the home is because, like, we literally do 9 things at one time and they come in and like, hey, I loaded the dishes. And you're like, well, good for you. Would you like a badge? Do you want a pen? No, I'm just being silly. But literally, like, Joey will come and tell me, hey, while you were gone, I whatever. And I'm like, awesome, thanks, babe. And I want to be like, what? Do you want me to tell you what I did today? No. But, yes. So just keeping our attention on him, knowing, like, even a dog, not to talk about women, we're not dogs, but even a female in the dog, what is it called? Whatever. Huh? In the dog world, yeah. Like in their species, thank you. In a dog species, it's so natural and immediate for her to know and to be able to do what she does and multiple things. And then the male's just kind of like, hey, buddy, you want to play? You want to climb on my back, you know? But what I've found, like, and especially for my kids who are older, like, Katie, now she's in college, or she's not in college, she's in Tulsa. She actually quit college, but, I'm just kidding, she did, but, so, but she calls Joey for 3 hours a day. And, like, I was way more involved in their tasks when they're little. But now, like, he's such a support to be able to navigate all of her life issues. And it's like, wow, I'm so glad that I didn't harass him about how I did way more than him when he was. And to be honest, like, for my personality, he probably couldn't get a chore in edgewise. Like, I'm, like, buzzing in there. Like, I don't want you helping me nurse my babies. I'll change her. Like, you know, I was probably overtaking anything in everything anyways. And so then he would just, you know, maybe try to figure out how he can be a help, you know. But for me, it's a grace. It's an innate. It's a natural ability, you know. So don't begrudge, I guess, just to stop talking about it, don't begrudge those things that are natural for us, and just cherish them and be grateful. But the whole time you're believing God for whatever's in your heart. So if you need balance, if you truly need help, if you truly, you know, need him to be thoughtful or whatever, then you praying for him, taking spiritual authority of anything that you might think would be the issue, you know. But again, he's your one, he's your person. So Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I am never in need." Or, "The Lord is my shepherd, I don't need a thing. The Lord is my shepherd to feed, to guide, and to shield me. I shall not want." Now, don't you love that? Because if I just go into my marriage in everything of any shortcoming that he could be having, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That means I'm putting my faith out for my husband, but also I know that God is providing for me in such a way that I don't have to stress or have worry or any anxiety about how thoughtful he is or what he came up with or what he's doing, right? And don't play games. Like, Joey and I, we don't do any silent treatments. We don't do just walk it. You got to walk in love and be honoring and esteeming, but also just, you know, if you're the one planning the date nights, it's okay. Just and just believe God. Use that as prayer time. You know, I know so many young people that, like, if I don't plan a date night, then we just won't do it. And I'm like, and that's okay. Do you know how many people would just love to go out to eat? Like, and you going to these 5-star restaurants to fine dining, and you have beautiful shoes to put on, and you were able to go get your pedicure before, and your hair's all done, and you got your nails done, and some reason you found something to be disgruntled about. Don't do that. I'm talking to myself too. Like, you know, like, find the good that they are and then cherish that. And then if you're doing something that you think is a little unfair or you wish they were more thoughtful, whatever, then "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," right? I take it to him. I trust you, God. I mean, as a little girl, I think it's so natural for me because nobody did anything like that for me. That's how come whenever I lay my hands on you guys, I just put my hands on your shoulders, because the most warm embrace that I've ever received from the Holy Spirit was just like this hug. I would be like 7 years old, and like how my parents did, they would just be like, "Go to bed." And you just, like, it's daylight outside, and you just go to your room, and you go to bed. Like, to me, that's unfathomable. Like, I would spend, like, too long with my kids putting them to bed, you know? But I would just be so, like, deeply alone and just crushed inside. And I just, like, knew enough about God just to say, "God, please give me a hug." And he literally, like, did not even know the Holy Spirit. I was telling Pastor Lindsay that, like, I was, like, more, like, father-driven. It wasn't until I was, like, 20 years old that I really fell in love with Jesus, because the Holy Spirit was my father. Like, and thankfully, my life, I was not abused. And so I always love that. I'm so grateful. Like, neglect is abuse, but there's something different. Like, I know, like, every female in my world was sexually violated, and, like, some miracle from God, like, I came out from all that chaos without being sexually violated. So I just, like, thank God for that. But in my early years, I knew I had to lean on God, because I wasn't going to get nothing from anybody ever, not even, like, you know, just a look or anything. I mean, I walked to the bus stop on my first day of kindergarten and got on the bus, which I'm sure times were different. I don't know. But I remember my, like, she's probably, like, I'm 46, so she's probably, like, 54, talking about, well, like, whenever I was in ballet, and I was like, that is so weird to me, like, because in my brain, they didn't even do ballet back then, like, when we were little. And she was like, "Yes, sister, they did ballet." And I'm like, that is so funny. I'm so, like, sheltered from real life, you know. But But you know what? I could feel sorry for myself on so many things. But then I just leaned on God, and he was so supernatural and came through so big for me that now it's just like, wow. I feel like I was his favorite, like, forever. Like, when people say that, I'm thinking, like, no, actually, I really do think I'm his favorite. You know, of course, I hope you do, too. But he will be there for you whenever people who should have been there for you weren't there for you. And maybe sometimes that's our spouse. And in seasons, I mean, they get hormones too, you know. There's going to be seasons where they're going to fail us, and maybe in greater ways than a marriage can withstand. But my heart and my eyes are still on the Father, because he will never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Okay, we have just a couple minutes. Let me see. I love these verses. In 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8, don't worry, I'm not taking up an offering. It says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. So women, you must decide in your heart how much you want to give. Don't give it reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. I think that we start out like, hey, honey, here's your plate. Let me give you your plate. And then you're like, it's in the kitchen if you want a plate or whatever. Or you just like digress to this place where you're now bitter in your heart. Or maybe you're bringing him a plate and you're frustrated about it. Or you're cooking for him, but you're frustrated about it. The Bible says don't give reluctantly. God loves a cheerful giver. And so it's so important not only what we do for our husband, but how we're doing those things. And then let's keep reading. It says, and God will generously provide all that you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. That means that I am not going to outdo myself doing for my husband till I'm just depleted and just vanquished. And I'm just going to be honest, if you feel like that, you're probably vanquished of the Word of God. You'll probably need to spend time in the Spirit and give that to yourself. And I know that happens sometimes out of, like, too many things to do, you know? But if you start to feel that irritability or that reluctance to give or not being a cheerful giver or giving in response to pressure, then tell yourself, I tell my kids and I tell my husband out loud, I am so sorry. I feel like cranky right now, and I know I just need to go get in the Word. Give me 20 minutes and I'm going to come back with a better attitude. I'm so sorry. You just call yourself on the carpet just like you would your kids. I mean, I'm tough on my kids. I wouldn't let them be like all haggy, you know, for more than 2 minutes, you know. Like, all right, you're going to need to shape up or ship out, sis, right? You ain't being disrespectful to me, not for a moment, right? And so, I mean, not to people, but to my kids, because I want them to know how to honor God. And so I'm tough on my kids, so I'm going to be tough on myself, right? All right. Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything you need. Instead, pray about it. Tell God what you need. Thank him for what he has done. Come on, thank him for who your husband is to you. I mean, my friend, we got to finish here, but my friend was 46, same age as me. She's my Rhema roommate, and she just got married. And whenever I would be frustrated at Joey, I would just, or like he's snoring and I can't sleep, you know, I would just think, I bet Sarah would look. I didn't mean to say her name, but she don't care. She's married, and she has a wonderful husband. I bet Sarah would just love to just be laying here to hear someone snore. I just thank you for my husband, Father. Like, just in those tiniest little moments. I mean, get yourself some earbuds, girl. Like, stop complaining, right? All right, we better close up. I love you guys. Is that all? His peace will guard your heart and your mind as we live, what? Focused on Christ. Look into him. Another thing, one thing, just if you're ever contemplating divorce, I love to tell people, just imagine your husband with a different lady, a younger lady, and she's going to be really cute because they have no problem finding a new cute sis. So you just imagine him with her and then just take control of your emotions with that. Like, do you really want the alternative? I mean, mostly you're like, all right, never mind, I'll take him. I'll deal with him for a moment. I love y'all.